Today is Wednesday, the 18th of May, 2016, and I am Adam. Hello, everyone. How are you? I really wish I had a better intro, but I don't know what to say. Someone write me an intro right now. Go out, get a piece of paper, get a pad and a pencil and whatever else that you need, and write me an intro. Something catchy, but something that kind of fits my personality. Something that I can, you know, easily just toss off when I'm going through all of this shenanigans. And I will do it. I will do it. But, you know, I don't know. Today is Wednesday. Wednesday. May 18th, 2016. Maybe I shouldn't include the date. You know, maybe it should be, what's the word for it? Timeless. You know, timeless. I need to have a timeless podcast that people can go back to and listen to. Oh my gosh, I promised I would do two this week, so here I am doing two, and I will explain to you right now, why I'm doing two. No, I'm sorry, why I'm actually doing this podcast, because you know, I make promises all the time, and rarely do I do them. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do every week. I am not going to miss a week. No, I am not. I am not going to miss a week. And then what do? I miss 2 weeks. But I will tell you the reason why I'm recording, and this is the reason I'm recording. I do not like confrontation, and I think that I'm really good at my job for the most part. And I know if you guys listen to Dubious Intent, there's a tech segment, and Daniel always gets the answer right or knows the answer before me, or I get the answer wrong, or whatever the case may be. And so people make fun and pretend that I don't know anything, but I make my living off of being a technical person. But what the field that I'm in is test automation. And I'll explain just a little bit. I don't want to get boring, but test automation is in software development. You have quality assurance engineers who are trained to test software to find defects. Either it doesn't do what the requirements were, what it was supposed to do, or it has some defect, you know, just something that's not working correct. And in that subset of software development, quality assurance, they're always looking for ways to make that testing process faster, because you develop more and more and more and more things that you need to test as more features are added to an application. And you don't want to have to manually go in and pretend you're a user and do all this by hand manually every time there's a change, because you have to go back and test. And I know, I'm sorry, this is really boring, but I'm getting to a point. You have to go back and test. It's called regression. You have to test everything that was there before to make sure that any new features or new changes that you added to an application did not break the old features. That's called regression. And the regression suite or the regression set gets larger and larger and larger. Okay, you can wake up now. So automation, we basically write another computer program, think of it like this, or a script. Think of it as like automation, like if you've ever used IFTTT or you've used any macros on any, like an Excel macro or something like that. It's similar to that, but basically what we do is we write scripts that will actually interact with the application as if they were a user and test those features and generate some type of report. So it is a type of programming. And I also do some light programming as a hobby. So I'm familiar with programming languages and things of that nature. But my real expertise is what to test, how to test it, when to test it, how to automate that, whether you should automate it going through the UI of the application or whether you should go through the back end of the application, all the different testing strategies, all the different automation strategies, the different tools that are out there for automation, et cetera. But we are trying to achieve more collaboration between the developers and the QA folks and the automation folks. And I do actual automation. I was listening to a previous Geeky Gay that I did like 5 years ago when I started the job, and I was complaining that I was mostly managing people and not doing enough technical. And I've been able, as I've moved up the ladder, I've been able to assign myself research projects and, you know, things like that, that I can get my feet wet doing technical things and then roll that out to the rest of my team. So I find the solution and then I give it to them. And so we are trying to encourage collaboration with developers and get developers to start adding more testing, automated testing to what they do, and to also collaborate between the developers and the QA and the QA automation person. And this is really boring, but if you don't find this interesting. I'm sorry. I'm just, this is a personal general podcast and I'm explaining my life. So bottom line is there are a couple of teams that are really, really taking this to heart and really starting to collaborate, which is great. But some developers have this really arrogant, know-it-all sort of attitude. You know, I know what I'm doing. I know this. Well, the automation that we're doing in this particular project is we're using a fully fledged programming language. We're not using a scripting language. We are using a fully fledged programming language to do the automation. And the developers have decided that we're not following the exact coding guidelines, et cetera, that they want to do. And one of the developers went in and just deleted thousands of lines of code. And it was probably 100 or 200 test cases that we had already automated. And anyway, we've had this big hullabaloo and this big, we've got to figure out how we keep this collaboration going, but we don't just go off and do things without getting approval and who owns what and yada, yada, all that kind of wonderful stuff that you have when you're working with teams. And they invited, I'm in charge of the overall automation for the entire, it's probably 30 different teams that are doing software development. And we have some type of QA and test automation, and I'm responsible for like the whole thing. So I'm not usually in the day-to-day meetings, but there's this one developer on this team that's just a real butthead, and he's hard to deal with, and I was invited to this meeting. Well, I don't like confrontation, and I had another meeting at that time, and so I was talking to several people, and they finally said, well, Adam, you don't have to go. We've already met with him separately if you need to go to this other meeting. Well, the other meeting was canceled, but because my stomach, I literally felt like I was going to puke. So because I had this pukiness and I had this out because no one knew my other meeting was canceled except for me. So instead I came home and I'm recording a podcast and they're having this meeting and whatever. I've already talked to him before. They already know my bullet points. It really wouldn't have helped for me to be in the meeting, to be honest, but that's what I'm doing. So strangely enough, I'm being told that I'm up for a promotion and I'm going to have an interviewing process with different technical experts to get to the next level. And I'm a little bit nervous about that as well. But so I just want to tell everyone, I am technical. You ask me about test automation, you know, tools, QTP, Selenium, any other number of Eggplant. There's all kinds of Worksoft. There's all these different things. What languages you would use, you know, Ruby, Python, VBScript, Java, C#, whatever you would use, what kind of how you set those up. Ask me any of that stuff about software development life cycle, when things should be tested, how the code should be written, when code reviews should happen, all that kind of good stuff. I'm your man. And I do also, as a hobby, mess around with home automation and audio equipment and video equipment and stuff like that. But maybe, you know, I don't know, whatever. So there you go. That is why I'm here. And I took an inordinate amount of time going over that. I apologize. Next topic. Mark and I are going to Hawaii, and we've been going through the process of trying to figure out which islands we're going to, how many days we're going to spend in each island, how much money we're actually going to spend on this trip. It's our fourth anniversary, and I really wanted to take a trip to Hawaii. I keep trying to find beaches that are as good or better than the beaches that he always talks about in the Philippines. I'm like, surely the United States is a huge country. Surely we have a beach somewhere that's going to match or beat some of the beaches in the Philippines. So I'm like, you know what? I have never been to Hawaii. We are going to take a trip to Hawaii this summer. So we're trying to go through that, but I have an issue. I don't know why. I do not know why. But for one reason or another, I really want to see a volcano. I want to see like an active, big ass, you know, lava flowing orange and black and hot steaming volcano, because I don't know when I'm ever going to get to see a volcano again. And I really want to see it. But we had already decided we wanted city life. We wanted some touristy, you know, nice restaurants, clubs, things of that nature. And that would be Honolulu. And that's on the island of Oahu, for anyone who doesn't know. And we decided, you know, we were going to definitely go there. And then we thought, okay, I thought we want one a little more secluded, not too secluded. He's not into hiking or anything like that. And, you know, so I wanted to do something that is really pretty and people say, oh, you should definitely go here, et cetera, et cetera. And so we decided, okay, the other island we're going to go to is Maui. Now, I'm going to get that wrong. Maui is an island, right? We're going to, I'm looking at a map here. Yes, Maui is an island. So we're like, okay, we're going to go to Oahu. We're going to go to Honolulu specifically and probably stay in Waikiki Beach area. And we're going to go to Maui. But when I was doing the research, the big park, the big national park that has all of the two or three active volcanoes, or maybe it's just one, but the big volcano basically is on the big island of Hawaii. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff to do there as well, but it's bigger. So it takes longer to get places and it's less populated. I've read, I don't know. I'm not an expert in Hawaii, so you guys can correct me. There are a lot of beaches, but again, they're less touristy, more remote areas, more hikey type stuff that you want to do. And Mark doesn't like to hike. So really, the only thing that I really wanted to do specifically that I could only do on the big island is see this volcano. So I'm going back and forth. We've been waiting for months to buy these plane tickets. We thought the ticket prices would go down, but they haven't gone down because we're going around the 4th of July, which apparently is really popular. And so those are not going down. So we have to purchase our tickets. And I'm in a dilemma because now we've decided, and we've read, you know, if you're only going for a seven to eight day vacation, you don't want to go to more than one island, actually. And we had already decided, well, we're definitely going to two islands. We're going to spend at least 3 days on each and do some, you know, nightlife and touristy type stuff and Waikiki Beach and stuff in the Honolulu area. And then we're going to do, and Pearl Harbor and some things of that nature. And then we're going to do in Maui, we're going to do, you know, just relaxing sort of beaches. We're going to do, I want to go and do a whale watching excursion and stuff like that. But I really want to include a day. We decided, well, maybe we could just do a day on the Big Island. And I know this sounds crazy. The airport that we would fly into is only an hour drive from the Volcano National Park. So we would fly in the morning, go to the Volcano National Park, eat there, you know, do some kind of picnic or something, tour around all the volcanoes, do that sort of thing, do that, and then get back, drive back to the airport, get on the plane, and then fly to the third island. So we would do like Honolulu, be there for 3 days, go to the Big Island the morning of the fourth day, do volcanoes all day, fly that evening. So don't even stay on the Big Island, fly that evening to Maui, and then do the rest of our trip. Or we would go Maui to Big Island to Honolulu. We haven't decided which island we're doing first. Regardless, it's about $200 more per person for that extra flight. And it's only for 1 day. So I've talked to a couple of people who've been to Hawaii and they tell me, you know, one or two of them will say, well, it's not worth it to go there. It's a huge island. You shouldn't just go for 1 day and spend that much money. You should just focus on Honolulu area and Maui. And then I've talked to some other people that say, well, how often are you going to go to Hawaii? If you really want to see a volcano, you might as well spend the money, because if you don't, you're going to regret it. There's going to be some level of regret that you did not do it. And so I don't know. I don't know what to do. If you guys have any recommendations, although you're going to have to email me like immediately when you get this podcast, because we're probably purchasing tickets tonight. But even if you don't have a recommendation on the Big Island, if you've been to Hawaii and you have any recommendations on where we should go, you know, whale watching excursions, restaurants, and on any of those two islands that I mentioned that are really good places to stay, we're still going to be looking. Should we do a house, like do a Airbnb sort of situation, a condo, or should we just stay in a hotel? Should we do something cheap since we're spending so much on our plane tickets and stuff like that? So we don't have any of this planned out, other than right now we're just planning the islands and the dates and purchasing the plane tickets. So, you know, we will see how that goes. The last thing I wanted to talk about, and I know the closing music has come on, and luckily it's a long bit of closing music, so I can cover one more topic. I started a new podcast. And I have decided, because I was just looking for news for Dubious Intent on Sunday, and I found this news story about a reality competition called Sex Factor. And I know I talked about this on the last episode, And I was really interested because I have an interest in the porn industry. I will not say that I was ever a porn star, but I've done, back in my younger, more svelte days, I was on a website, and I know some of the ins and outs of that. I don't know the ins and outs of doing things with another person on camera in a professional environment, but it's an American Idol-like competition, and it's very explicit, supposedly, although I haven't seen any episodes yet. It starts tomorrow, May 19th. If you go over my recap, and I would love you guys to subscribe, I think it's going to be a solo show, but I may bring in co-hosts from occasion. I really want the audio quality to be good, and I didn't have time to hunt down a co-host and go over technical details of us recording on both ends and all of that. Daniel already has a recap show that he does and some other things, and I wanted to kind of, you know, we already do Dubious Intent together, so I wanted to do something separate. I didn't want it to just be another Dubious Intent where we cover a different topic. But if you go over to my website, my website is sexfactorrecap.com, sexfactorrecap.com. And that's a work in progress. I threw it together last night and I'm trying different themes. And I do have a feed already, and I submitted that to iTunes. And I also submitted it over at Stitcher. So iTunes and Stitcher, I think Stitcher approved me already, but iTunes has not approved me. But on the webpage, there's two links on the left-hand bar, the sidebar. One for Android, one just RSS for you to subscribe. So you can subscribe. There is an episode there now. And if you have any interest in hearing me and maybe some guest co-hosts recap, now it is straight porn. So if, you know, you have to be okay with seeing women and men, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of challenges they have, etc. So I'm really excited about seeing this and seeing what kind of segments I can do. It's probably going to be about a 30-minute per episode, per Sex Factor episode recap show. I don't know that I have time to prepare for anything longer. So go over there, sexfactorrecap.com. And have a look. There's already one preview episode up there, just a really simple placeholder so I could submit the podcast. I will start putting out regular episodes hopefully this weekend with the release of the first episode of the show. I tried for a sexfactor.xxx domain. I actually paid for it, but I didn't realize you had to register with some ICM registry.com, and I can't get them to send me the registration email. So I may have to cancel that domain, because if you're not registered, your XXX domain won't work. You have to register. All right, guys, this is a little bit longer than it usually is, but I hope you enjoyed. You got two this week. You can reach me at adamburns.uk@gmail.com. Listen to my podcast at dubiousintent.com or sexfactorrecap.com. And you can find all of the great LGBT supportive and LGBT shows over at pride48.com. I will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.